The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Mem Tes, and we are about 8 lines from the bottom of daf Mem Ches on the day. So the last 2 days, we discussed the sugya of Mo'is Koinois. So that's Pashit, that if somebody wants to acquire Karka, Nechasim Sheyesh Lohem Achrayis, Niknin, Bekesef, Bishtar, Bechazaka. If the moicher, the one selling the karka, does meshicha on the money that's being paid for his property, the kinyan is consummated, the kinyan is chal, there's something called kinyan kesef, kinyan mois, when one is buying karka. The Mishnah, in the beginning of Perek Hazav, our Mishnah, said very clearly that if somebody's buying metaltolin with money, when the meicher, the one selling the metaltlin, does meshicha on the money, the kinyan metaltlin is not chal. In other words, kesef mois is not koina when it comes to metaltlin. We had a machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Whether this, that mois is not koina by metaltlin, is that mida eraisa or is that only mida rabbanan? Rabbi Yochanan said, dvar toira mois koina. Mida eraisa, really mois is koina. The reason the Mishnah says it's not, it's because of a takonis chachamim, gzeira shema yoimer loy nisr fuchitecha b'liya. Reish Lakish argues, Reish Lakish says that even mida eraisa, mois is not koinus. What's the beer in the machloikis, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Yesterday we said that Rashi says here in Bava Metzia Daf Mevavam Mebeis that Pshat in Rabbi Yochanan is that he learns kinyan metaltolin from hektish, and just like by hektish there's an idea that you can redeem hektish with kesef, so too you can transfer the rishos of metaltolin al yidei kesef as well. Reish Lakish pashut would hold, and that's what Tosfos says in Erev and Daf Peyala from Abayis, that lo yalfinon hedyit me hektish. Stating that, Tosfos over there doesn't agree with Rashi. Tosfos says that Pshat Rabbi Yochanan has nothing to do with hektish, and Pshat Reish Lakish has nothing to do with the fact that lo yalfinon hedyit me hektish, but rather Rabbi Yochanan believed that just from reading Psukei Tanakh, kamaduchti, you find that most kinyonim were done al yidei kesef. Reish Lakish acknowledged that, but Reish Lakish held that as it relates to the halacha, kesef is not koina, because Tosfos says, based on the Gemara Masechtas Bechoros, that you can't have that kesef and meshicha should both be koina. It's going to be either kesef or meshicha. And being the Reb Shlokish proved in the sugya on Nachman Zayin Amadeus that meshicha is koina min haTorah, because it says oikona miyad amisecha dover anikna miyad liyad. The moment Reish Lakish holds that meshicha is koina, mois cannot be koina. But either way, that was the machlokes. Stating that, although mois is not koina, according to Reish Lakish, even not midei raisa, according to Rabbi Yochanan, only midei rabbanan, the halacha is that if Reuven selling something to Shimon, Shimon gives Reuven money, Reuven does meshicha on the mois. Now Shimon wants to back out. He says, you know what? I never did meshicha on the metaltolin. Give me my money back. I want out. The halacha is he has to first be mekabel a misha para. Misha para meyanche dera mabel, umeyanche dera floga, ume stoiva moira, umi mitzrim shetabu vayam. Who yipara mimcha? It's a klala. It's a little scary. Machlokes, Rav and Abaya. Do they actually curse him? Or do they just inform him that you realize that by you reneging on this deal, you're getting involved in inyan klala? So that was a machlokes. But the point is that even though mois is not koina, but the Lashon HaGemara is, it is koina with regards to, in order to back out, you'd have to be mekabel mishapar. They would take him to Beis Din. They would say, do you accept upon yourself, do you acknowledge, we'll soon see in the Nusach and Shulchan Aruch exactly how this worked, but do you accept upon yourself this mishapar? The answer is yes. They tell him, okay, no problem, you have a right to back out of the transaction, and that's going to be the end of the whole story. The last machloikis we saw, Sif Katan, in this general discussion, was a machloikis amayroim, with regards to somebody that paid money, but he didn't pay all the money. He just left a deposit. So there's a buyer and a seller. They agreed on a certain amount of money. The buyer put down 10% of what the total purchase price is going to be, and now he wants to back out. The shaila is, do we say that being that you paid some money, now you're not allowed to back out from the transaction, even to the part of the transaction that corresponds to money that you did not put down? So if you put down 10%, you cannot back out of anything. Out of 100%, you can totally not back out unless you mekabel on yourself the mishapara. Or do you say no? If avivai, you put down money, that 10%, for that, there's a mishapara. That much kinyan took place, and for that, there's a mishapara for you to back out. But as it relates to the balance that you did not put down, the part, the 90% that you didn't leave a deposit, maybe that you can back out. So it was a machloikis amiron, and we pick it up on that. He says the Gemara, it would seem at first glance that that machloikis amiron is really machloikis tanoim. And where's this machloikis tanoim? A sugya in mesachta shvuas hamal ves chaver ala mashkin. If somebody loans his friend money, but there was a mashkin v'nichnas shmita, and now shmita came. So just two definitions as it relates to background to this halach. Number one, we're familiar with Shemitah's Ksafen. The Poshet Shemitah is the seventh year, Tishamteno, Unetashto, you're not allowed to work your field. In addition to that, there's a second parasha, Shemitah's Ksafen. All loans became null and void when Shemitah came. Says the Braisa, that's only true if it was a regular loan. But if the loiva gave the malva a mashkin, the mashkin's holding, the malva's holding a piece of collateral, then the halacha is that that loan does not get knocked out with Shemitah. And Rashi explains very nicely, because the pasuk in the Torah that says that you're not allowed to collect the loan once Shemitah comes is lo yigais. You're not allowed to collect. To the extent that you have the mashkin in your rishos, you're not collecting because you have it already. It's for that reason the laws of Shemitah don't apply. Mm-hmm. So the price is discussing a case where somebody loaned his friend money. There was a mashkin. So based on that, it could be the laws of Shemitah's ksafen wouldn't apply. However, the mashkin was not kineged. It didn't correspond to the full amount of the loan. It only corresponded to a percentage of the loan. Even though the mashkin was only worth half the value of the loan, so the loan was $1,000, the mashkin was worth $500. In a misham, the halacha is Shemitah's ksafen doesn't apply. Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Yomer, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who of course is Rebbe, who of course is Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's son, he argues, im hoye mashkin kineged halva asoy, if the mashkin corresponded to the entire loan, meaning the loan was $1,000 and the mashkin was $1,000, then ene mishamit v'im lav, but if not mishamit, says the Gemara. Let's clarify this price. My ene mishamit come Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said that even if the mashkin is only worth $500 and the loan is worth $1,000, still there's a mashkin, you have the law that a loan that has a mashkin is not affected by Shemitah. Ile mekinegdoi, where Moshe Gamliel said that it's not meshamet, did he mean only the $500 is not meshamet? Meaning, the $500 of the loan that doesn't have a mashkin corresponding to it, avada is meshamet. He just meant to say that the $500 that does have a mashkin, that's not mishamit, because there's a mashkin. Michal, but if that's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel meant, which would be very reasonable, but it would come out then that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Sover Lahach Pal Ganami Mishamit. That Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who argues with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says that in this case, Shemitah would be mishamit, he's arguing with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, meaning what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said is not mishamit. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi holds is mishamit, meaning even the chelek that has a mashkin corresponding to it, even that is going to be mashamit. But the Gemara's cash is, el mashkin denokit lomeli, then why do you give him the mashkin? Wasn't the whole point of the mashkin for this halacha, that when Shemitah comes, the loan shouldn't be mashamit? Now the Gemara is going to say later, no, that's why you give a mashkin. You give a mashkin in case the loiva runs away. That's your security. You want to make sure that you'll be able to collect the loan. But that's the Gemara's kasha right now. So that's posh, it says the Gemara. Even Rabbi Yehuda Anasi has to acknowledge that at the very least, the chelik of the loan that does have a mashkin corresponding to it would be enim mashamit. Elos lav shmamina. It must be that my enim mashamit to come from Shimon Gamliel. What did Shimon Gamliel mean when he said enim mashamit? Enim mashamit bekuloi. The loan is not mashamit at all. Even the chelik of the loan that doesn't have a mashkin. Because as long as there's a mashkin that corresponds to some of it, that makes it that the entire loan is now not subject to Shemitah. Umay mishamet kam Rabbi Danasi. And Rabbi Danasi that argues and says that the loan is mishamet, what does he mean? Lahach palga deloy nokat lay mashkin. It means the chelik that there's no mashkin is mishamet. Everybody agrees the chelik that has a mashkin is not mishamet. The question is the other chelik. So we have an interesting machloikis. We have a machloikis where there's a mashkin that corresponds to only part of the loan. It's poshit, that part of the loan is not subject to Shemitah's Ksafim. What about the balance of it? Is the balance subject to Shemitah's Ksafim or not? It seemed to be a machloikis from Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Says the Gemara, Bahaka Miflagi, Shimon Gamliel Sava Kineged Kulei Hukaina. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Sava Kinegdai Hukaina. That would seem to be a perfect Tzushtel, or really, as the Rishonim speak out, a very imperfect Tzushtel, to our machloikis Amirai. Meaning, the Gemara is drawing this parallel. Just like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi are arguing, where there's a mashkin of 50%. Do we look at it as if the mashkin was really on 100% and it affects the loan as if there was a mashkin on 100%? So too, and it's related to our sugya, where you had a ma'is that was given on a chelik of the transaction, somebody left a deposit, where the halach is that even though ma'is is not koinos, but still the buyer, if he wants to back out, has to first be mekabel on himself, a misha para. Do you say that if he put down money on 50%, he now cannot back out from 100%? It's as if you put it on 100%. That would seem to be Reb Shimon Gamliel. Or do you say that no, connected what you put down the deposit, there's a ma'is koinis with regards to Mishapara. But as it relates to the balance, not. That would seem to be the shita of Reb Yehuda Nasi. Why is it an imperfect tzushtel? Because here we're talking about a kinyan, there we're talking about a loan, here we're talking about a deposit, there we're talking about a mashkin. So it's not mamish the same case, but the Gemara is drawing a parallel, says the Gemara, lema kita noi, so the Gemara says loy. It could be mayin, mishamit kum shum gamliel, lach palga de nokat olel mashkin. Maybe when shum gamliel said ein mishamit, he meant only as it relates to that chelik that has the mashkin corresponding to it. What was the problem with that? Michal de Yehuda Nasi sover, lach palga de nokat olel mashkin, nami mishamit. It would then come out, the Yehuda Nasi that argues hold, that the entire loan is subject to Shemitah, even the chelik that does have the mashkin. The Gemara's kasha was a mashkin, the nokadei lomeli, then why do you give him a mashkin? If it's not affecting Shemitah, what was the point in the mashkin? And for the Gemara, the zichron var ma'alma, he gave him the mashkin for security purposes, not necessarily for anything else. Either way, before we go weiter, back into the sugyas of Misha Parah, just one ha'ara. So the Braisa mentions the halacha of Shemitah's ksofen, where somebody was malva ala mashkin, and the Lashon HaBrais is, ha-malva es chaveri ala mashkin, v'nichnasa ha-shmita. And shmita came. Nichnasa ha-shmita sounds like it's now the beginning of the seventh year. And the truth is, that's how shmita works. When we know that you're not allowed to work the field on shmita, and all the halachas of shvias, when does shmita start? It's the beginning of it. It's the entire seventh year. So as soon as the seventh year is ushered in, the beginning of the seventh year, nichnasa hashmita, that's when the laws of shmita apply. But the truth is, this Lashon HaBrais is very shver, because it's a Gemara, and this is really something that's universally accepted, that although shmita's karka begins in the beginning of the seventh year, but shmita's ksofen really begins at the end of the seventh year. And the truth is, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Miketz sheva shanim. At the end of 7 years, tasa shmita. Meaning when loans are rendered null and void as a result of shmita, it doesn't happen at the beginning of the year. It happens really at the end of the year. This pasuk is talking about shmita's ksofen. Miketz sheva shanim tasa shmita. V'zed vara shmita. Shomoy ko balnashe yodei ashe yashe b'reyeyu. Lo yigoy ses reyeyu ves achiv ki kore shmita l'ashem. Es anoch ritakis. The whole parasha here in parasha's reyey. It's in the parasha of tzedakah. Because really it's a form of charity. This idea of shmita's ksofen is miketz sheva shanim. So the Lashon HaBrais at first glance would seem to be a little bit shver. Hamalves chaveri ala mashkin v'nichnesa. It's not nichnesa. You really have to wait to miketz. It's at the end of the year. It's not the beginning of the year. But the truth is, when we learned Perek HaShelech, we learned the sugya Pruzbol, but Gittin, Daf Lamed Vav, Daf Lamed Zayin, we spoke out then a well-known Shitas HaRosh. The Rosh is in Masechtas Gittin, Perek HaShelech, Simin Chav, where the Rosh learns Psukei HaTorah for us. And the Arichas of the Rosh is Ein Kama Kamei Laharech. But the Rosh says Halacha is important, and that is, that even though it's true, the Pashup Shad of the Pasuk is Miketz Sheva Shanim Tasa Shmita, that Shmita goes into effect at the end of the year, that's only with regards to the Etzim HaShmata of the loan. The loan becomes null and void at the end of the year. However, when the Torah says, Lo Yiges Es Reyeyu Ves Achiv Ki Kora Shmita Lashem, that's true already in the beginning of the year. And the Rosh teaches the Pasuk, Miketz Sheva Shanim V'Zed Vara Shmita Shomit. The loan itself is Nishman at the end. However, Lo Yiges Es Reyeyu Ki Kora Shmita Lashem. As soon as it's Shmita, what does it mean as soon as it's Shmita? As soon as it's, everyone's observed, everyone knows what Shmita is. Shmita is the beginning of the seventh year. At that point already Lo Yiges. Meaning the Rosh is bifurcating the Shmita itself with the Isser Lo Yigoyz. The Shemitah itself happens at the end of the year. But the Isser Lo Yigoyz, that's as soon as Kikara Shemitah Lashem. According to the Rosh, it's very nice. Hamalves Chaveri Ala Mashkin, V'nichnas HaShemitah. As soon as Shemitah comes, there's already an Isser Lo Yigoyz. Stating that, if there's a Mashkin, then there's not going to be an Isser Lo Yigoyz. Like Rashi points out, Lo Karina Be Lo Yigoyz. Shereyenu Tavik Klum. Because you're not being Tavik. It's interesting, if you look at the Ibn Ezra, on the Pasuk, Miketz Sheva Shanim, The Eben Ezra at first glance seems to be saying Sisrei Torah. V'tam miked shev hashonim tasa shmita betchilas hashono kasher pirashti tchilas hashono miketz. Right, we all learned parshas miketz in yeshiva. If you would have parshas miketz at the beginning and not at the end, was like gechab tzvay fras. That's not what miketz means. Miketz means besayf hashono. How could Eben Ezra teach miked shev hashonim? So if you look in the Ramban says something very interesting. The Ramban says that we make a mistake. We think the word miketz means the end. It's not the right word. The shayrish of the word miketz is miloshen kotza. Mikotza el hakotza, says the Ramban. It's the gvul. The gvul could be the beginning, it could be the end. It's the boundary. It's either the beginning or the end. Eben Ezra teich, miketz shev hashonim over here, means the beginning, it doesn't mean the end. The Ramban says, in pshutei shel mikra, you could be seifel such a taich. But the problem is, it's connected what we all know. We all know, freik the Ramban, that's not the way Shemitah's Ksofim works. Shemitah's Ksofim is not Tchilas Hashanah, Shemitah's Karkas Tchilas Hashanah. Shemitah's Ksofim is Besayf Hashanah. So I saw in the Pardes Yosef says, Devin Ezra is maybe the Rosh. Just like the Rosh said, that even though the Iker Din of Shemitah's Ksofim really does happen, Miked Shev Hashanah at the end of the seventh year, it could be Devin Ezra knew that's the Iker Taich of Miketz as it relates to the Iker Parish of Shemitah. But what Devin Ezra was saying is that Miketz could also mean the beginning of the year, and it is negeya the laws of Shemitah's Ksofim betchilas Hashana. The reason is because as it relates to the Leigas, it's a little bit doichik in the Eben Ezra. It sounds like he's teaching the whole pasuk means betchilas Hashana, that there's no remes even to Seif Hashana. But either way, it could be the pshat in the Eben Ezra doesn't mean what the Ramban thought it meant. It could be he just means the Shita Sarash, that there's a chilik between the Isser Leigas and between the mitzvah of Shemitah, where the Rosh plays itself out la halacha, and where some of the machmirim deal with this Rosh is as it relates to writing a prosbul. When are you supposed to write a prosbul? So the Minhag Yisrael is we write a prosbul at the end of the Shemitah year. But the truth is that only would make sense if the laws of Shemitah's Ksofim have no effect during the seventh year itself. But like the Rosh that is in this way, you guys, in the beginning of, for the entire seventh year, if you're going to want to be Teveya, a Chayv, during the seventh year, you better have a prosbul. And it's for that reason the Rosh himself, in that Simen Chav, said that the proper minig is to write the prosbul at the beginning of the seventh year, not at the end of the seventh year, because you have to make sure you have the prosbul if you're going to want to collect, because the Issel Yigois is already chal in the beginning of the seventh year. So I'll tell you just one very interesting thing. Some say that to be Yoytze the Rosh and the Ikaradin, you should write two prosbuls. You should write a prosbul in the beginning of the seventh year, to bavarn the Rosh that is already in Issel Yigois during the seventh year, and you should write a prosbul at the end of the seventh year. One of those Gedolei Apoyskim is the Chassam Sofer, the Hilig Chassam Sofer, and a Tshuva. But the context of the Tshuva there is very interesting. It's an Erechayim Tshuva Tezvav. There's two Tshuva Tezvavs. It's Tezvav Beis. At the very, very end, he brings that he saw a very interesting minig by his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler. It was the second day of Sukkot, and it was up to the Levi Aliyah. So on Shmini Atzeres, we spoke about the Kohen's Aliyah. So the end of the Levi's Aliyah, the Pasuk says, the very end, V'lechem v'koli v'karma v'soichlu at etzem ha'yoyim hazeh ad aviyachem eskorben alekechem chuk azeh v'dereseichem v'chol moish v'seichem. The Torah mentions the Isser Chodosh. And Rav Nosson Adler didn't allow a certain Levi, who he knew wasn't makbid on Chodosh, to go be over with Torah. Because he felt that Sukkot's time there were already Chodesh issues, and he knew that this Yid wasn't Makbid, so he said he's going to let him go be over with Torah, and the Chazan's going to read the Pasuk of Alechem, the Koli, the Karmel, the Seichel, the Issa Chodesh, and then after his Aliyah, he's going to go to the back of the Beis Medrash, Kiddush Chob, and he's going to make Kiddush on Skach Tess. Chodesh? That's the flush. That's the Kiddush club. He's going to go ahead and do that. So Rav Nosson Adler didn't let him, he didn't allow him to be Oyle B'Tayr. Says the Chassam Sofer, that based on the minik that I saw by my Rebbe, this year is a Shnas HaShemitah. So he says, if there's a Yid that doesn't write two prosbuls, one in the beginning of the year and one at the end of the year, to be Yoytze the Shita Sarosh. That is already in Issel Yigeis during the seventh year. I would not allow him to be Oyle L'Torah Parshas Re'eh by this parsha of Shemitah's Ksofim, because he's not somebody that's medacted by Shemitah's Ksofim. So I think this is a Dover Chodosh, meaning it's Yodua Tshuvas from Kiveger. Reb Kiveger declares if someone that's not fasting on Yom Kippur, could he get Mafta Yoyna or Koyin and Levi by Mincha and Yom Kippur? Does the Kree of the Parsha of Arayas have to do with the Tainus? Does it have to do with the Kedushas Hayoyim? It's a famous Chakiru from Reb Kiveger and a Tshuva. The point is, someone that's fasting maybe shouldn't be able to Torah on a Tainus. If the Kriya has something to do with Taina. So there are ideas that just because you're a Yid and you're Bar Mitzvah doesn't necessarily mean that you could be Oyel Torah. Remember, I was a Bacher in Eretz Yisrael, so it was Shavuos. It was Shavuos is 2 days for the Yidden that live in Chutz La'aretz, but in Eretz Yisrael it was a Friday Shabbos. So I went to pick up a friend of mine who lived on Rehov Chazanovich. He was next door neighbors to Rameir Soloveitchik Zatzal. I remember I picked him up. We were supposed to walk to a Suda together. We're passing by Rameir Soloveitchik's apartment. One of his sons was standing outside. He says, Zog, is Zenta Yisrael? Because the Soloveitchik's are all of Yiv. Is Zenta Yisrael? They needed a Yisrael to walk into the minyan to be Eilu L'Torah. So I walk in to get an aliyah. I put on my talis. I'm about to say Baruch Hus Hashem on the Vayrach. And one of Rameir's sons looks at me. He tells me, Il Zenta Chutz L'Ochitz Nika? I said, yeah. He threw me out. I ran for my life because my Kriyas HaTorah was Yontif. His Kriyas HaTorah was Shabbos. See, held, I wasn't allowed to be Eilu L'Torah. But either way, this is a Davar Chadash. Der Nosson Adler held that someone that's not Makbin on Chadash, he shouldn't get the Aliyah of Chadash. And the Chasam Sofer took it the next step. Someone that's not Makbin on Shmita's Ksofim. And what do we mean he's not Makbin on Shmita's Ksofim? He doesn't write two prusbols to be Yotze the Shita Sirash. Either way, some Dvarim, Nechmadim. Either way, Zokta Gemara weiter. Rav Kahana, Yavu Leizuzi, Ya Kisna. Rav Kahana had Kisna. At Gahat Flax. To sell, somebody put down a deposit on the flax. But before he made delivery, the flax went up in price. Also, look how many the Rav. So he came before Rav. So Rav told Rav Kahana, meaning Rav Kahana, wanted to back out of this transaction. He said, but Maiden Akita Zuzi, Havlo. The chelik that you already accepted a deposit for, you have no right to back out of. The idach, the balance, dvarim nino, it's just dvarim, the dvarim ein ben mishum mechusri emana. If you want to back out from that, you're not doing anything wrong. Itma, we learned dvarim, rav, am ein ben mishum mechusri emana. Rabbi Yechanan, am yesh ben mishum mechusri emana. It's machloik is rav and Rabbi Yechanan. Rav holds that if somebody commits to do something, but there was no kinyan, there was no deposit, there was no meshicha, there was no hagbah, there was nothing, you have a right to back out, and there's no issue of mechusri emana. Rabbi Yechanan said, yesh ben mishum mechusri emana. This maisa, rav, was Rav Lashitasai. Rav holds Dvarim Ein Ben Mishum Mechusrei Emana. That's why he told Rav Kahana that with regards to that chelek that is a deposit, that you're not allowed to back out. As it relates to the balance, you have nothing to worry about. Meisri Rav Yisri Rav Yehudai Mer Feik Tikmah, I'll ask you a kasha. Ma Tamul Lemihin Tzedek. It says in the Pasuk, Moiznei Tzedek, Avnei Tzedek, Eifas Tzedek, Hin Tzedek, Yilachem Ani Hashem Olokeichem Asher Tzeisi Yeschem Eretz Mitzrayim. That's a Pasuk in Parshas Ki Seitze that talks about the general mitzvah that Yid has to be honest in business. So why does it say Moizne, Avne, Eifas, Hin, Fellow Him Bechal, Eifai Haya? Isn't Hin included in Eifai? El Label Chal. She, Hin Shal Chal Tzedek, Velav Shal Chal Tzedek. If you say yes, it should be a yes. If you say no, it should be a no. Meaning you shouldn't be dishonest. You shouldn't renege on something that you said. And this is in a business setting. You should be careful to keep your word. So the Gemara's kasha is that how could Rav say that it's just dvarim? That means something else. That means that if you tell somebody something, but while you tell it to him, you really have absolutely zero intentions to do or to observe what you said, that's wrong. Because then you're not echav lev, echav lepeh. But if I say something and then later I change my mind, that has nothing to do with hin tzedek, because that's not an issue. And ein behem mishum mechusrei amon. Meisvei Reb Shimon Naimi, afa bisham l'talos kene dinar, dinar zav, ein dinar zav kene talos. Even though the Mishnah said that if you do meshicha on the metaltalin, then the kinyan is consummated. If you do meshicha on the mois, the kinyan is not consummated. Mikomok and kachalocha. Avol omer misha par miachudar. Mabul miachudar aflogo hu asali part of a misha ena ibibidir buroi. Right, that was the brisa that we had in yesterday's daf, which really is the Mishnah, that even though mois is not kainois, but if the moichet does meshicha on the mois, once he takes the money, at that point there's already a misha para. What we need is really the end of the brisa, the vechulu, that's not mentioned here, and that is that in the event that no money traded hands, even though there's no Misha Para. However, if somebody backs out at that point, ein ruach hachamim leichei menu. So it seems to be a mefurish b'raisa that says that even if there was no money, all it is dvarim, but still ein ruach hachamim leichei menu. There's an idea of mechusrei amana. It's a kashan Rav, and even though Rav is a Tana Upalik, but throughout Shas, you see that that's only a last resort. We prefer to make Rav work with prices. Says the Gemara, Tanoi, it's really Machlokes Tanoi. Tonight we learned in the Mishnah, and this is a Mishnah later in Perek HaSoicher as a Poyalim. Maisa, very Gishmaka Perek, incidentally, that we're going to have in a few weeks, that's A full week of Agadata. Maisi, Rabbi Yochanan Masya, Shama Lipnoi. There was a story with Rabbi Yochanan Ben Masya that once told his son, Save us Chaylon Upoilim. Go out and hire workers. They needed work done in their house. He said, go hire workers. So he meets a worker, negotiates a rate with him. And one of the things he told him was, "Is lunch is on us. It's a love if, when he came back to his father, you promised him lunch, you're in trouble now. Because even if you're going to prepare a lunch that was kisuda shleima b'shaita le'yotzasi yirecha v'aschei ma'im, you're not going to fulfill your obligation. She'im b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'yakif. And the Gemara later is going to say that the suda of Avram was greater than the suda of shleima melech. But the point is, they're b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'yakif. You know what a commitment it is to promise a yid lunch? You have to serve him food that's appropriate for him. And there are Bnei Avram, and Avram's Suda was even greater than Shlomo HaMelech's Suda. Hello. So he told them, actually, ask about before they start working, say the MLM, go tell them, back out. And that's not lunch. We changed our mind, give you a little snack, but it's not lunch. A little pas, a little kitness. That's what's the Gemara's kash. Now, if you're going to tell me that once you commit something to somebody, you're not allowed to back out. How could Rabbi Yechon and Masya tell him to back out? Must be Rabbi Yechon and Masya argues. And he holds Dvarim Eimem Mishum Mechusri Amana. Says the Gemara, say, Rav said Dvarim Eimem Mishum Mechusri Amana. We had a kash on Rav from the Braisa of Ein Ruach Hachamim Noichei Menu. Says the Gemara, it's really Machlokes Tanoim. Because you see that Rabbi Yechanan Masya told his son to back out. Rav, who said you're allowed to back out, held like Rabbi Yechanan ben Masya. That brisa really doesn't stim with him. That sheet is Rabbi Yechanan. But the Gemara says, could be there's no right. Shani Hossam, could be there. It's different. The poilim, gufayloi samchodatayo. The poilim, the workers themselves, knew that Rabbi Yechanan ben Masya's son was only the son, and he didn't have authority to start sheasing with lunches and things. It wasn't something that was within his right to do. As a result, they never got excited about it. Being that they never got excited about it, for you to back out, there's no issue of mechusrei emana. Because veide yadi dalavua samach. Ihachi. Then why did he tell him, before they start working, go change your mind? Even if they start working, there should be no issue. Because the whole premise of Mechusri Amana is you let somebody on. But they knew anyways. There was never a Smichas Nas as far as they're concerned. Says the Gemara, Eschila B'Malacha Vadi Samchu Datayu. No, once they start working, at that point they do think it's a done deal. Because Amru, they'll say, Meimar Amar Kamedavua. He must have told his father, V'nichalei, otherwise he wouldn't let me start work. Say, he made me an offer. He probably went back, discussed it with his father. If his father was going to agree, we can start working. If not, we can't. So from the offer itself, there's no issue of Mechusri Amana yet. Because in their minds, let's see if the father is okay with it. They're expecting the son to maybe come back and say, listen, you know, I spoke to the boss and, you know, we can't do this, but, you know, I can give you 10 cents on the dollar of what I promise you, which is what happened. He's expecting that, but once he starts working, in their minds, that means that the deal's already done. As a result, there would be an issue of Mechusri Amanas. Either way, we seem to have a machloikis, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, Dvarim Ba'alma. There was no Mois, there's no Mishapara, Yesh Bahem Mishum Mechusri Amana, or Eim Bahem Mishum Mechusri Amana. And that Braisa that we saw yesterday, that even though Mois doesn't trade hands, if somebody backs out from Dvarim, Eim Ruach HaChamim, Noichem Menu, Chamim are not happy, at first glance is totally in this Machloikis, Rav and Rabbi Yechon. How could Rav then say, Eim Bahem Mishum Mechusri Amana? We don't like it when Rav argues with Braises, says the Gemara, it's true, but there's another Braisa, in fact, a Mishnah, even better, Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya, who seemed to say that there is no issue of Mechusrim. But either way, says it, Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan, let's talk Rabbi Yochanan, did Rabbi Yochanan say that if somebody backs out from Dvarim, that there is an issue? Rabbi Baruchanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Baruchanan said the name Rabbi Yochanan, somebody goes up to the son and he tells him that I'm going to give you a gift. Yochel Achzabah, he has a right to back out. Pray to Gemara, Yochel Pshita, of course he's allowed to. No one says he's not allowed to. Yochel meaning there's no Cheshem Mishpat element if you back out. Of course not. Elam Mutter Lachzaboy. What he must have meant was that you're allowed to. Why are you allowed to? Why is there no issue of Mechusrei Amana? If Rabbi Yochanan says that if I tell you I'm going to sell something to you, I have to keep my word, and if I don't, there's Mechusrei Amana, so why not say the same thing regarding a matan? If I tell you I'm going to give you a gift, there should be an issue. How could Rabbi Yochanan say, Mutter Lachzaboy? It's a kash Rabbi Yochanan. I'm a rapapa. Moed Rabbi Yochanan. B'matana mu'etes desamcha datayo. It's true there's two Rabbi Yochanans that at first glance would seem to contradict each other, but the teretz is, this thing that he committed to do, was it a davar mu'et or was it a davar gadol? The only time Rabbi Yochanan said there's an issue of Mechusrei Amana is if it was a davar mu'et. because the person assumes it's for sure done. But if it's a davar gadol, he understands that it could be the person will have seller's remorse or he won't want to give the matana. It's for that reason, at that point, we don't say there's an issue of mechusrei amana. So when Rabbi Yochanan said muter lachzer boy, he was talking about a big matana. A big matana, there's no issue of mechusrei amana, muter lachzer boy. Rabbi Yochanan said, hareza mechusrei, you have to fulfill what you said, he was talking about a davar mura. And the Gemara says, hachi, nami mistabra, I'll bring you a raya, which ultimately won't be a raya. Maybe it will be a raya, we'll see. Tamar abavom Rabbi Yochanan Yisrael, this Rabbi Yochanan again himself talking, it's all Rabbi Yochanan Yisrael, Shem ben Levi, Yisrael told a Levi, kur maisa yesh lecha biyadi. Aichas was mafish maisris, maisirishan goes to a Levi, before Ezra, after Ezra. The Rambam says Ezra was only koines the Leviim of his generation. But either way, this is a Yisrael that has Maestrishan. He wants to give it to a Levi. So he tells a Levi, you know, I have some Maestrishan put away for you. Rashoi lasoisoi chumas Maestr al makamachet. This Levi has a right to assume that he's for sure going to get the Maestrishan. As a result, he can designate that Maestrishan that's in the possession of this Yisrael as the chumas Maestr that he has to give on his Maiserishin. Fake the Gemara. If the Yisrael, once he tells the Levi, that I'm going to give you this Maiserishin, he doesn't have a right to back out, then Mishamachi Rasha, I understand, he can't back out. So the Levi's for sure going to get it. If the Levi's for sure going to get it, that's why he could use it now as his Trumas Maiser. But if you're going to tell me he could back out, am I Rasha? Why does he have a right to back out? What happens if this? Why does he have a right to use it as Trumas Maiser? What happens if the Yisrael decides to back out? It's going to come out that this person was never mafish Trumas Maiser. Because in his mind, the Trumas Maiser was that Maiserishan that was in the Rishos of the Yisrael, and now he never ended up getting it. Elamai, he could back out. How could Rabbi Yochanan say this? I, Rabbi Yochanan, holds Hareza Mechusrei Amana. Rabbi Yochanan, the Teretz says, we must be, this is a davar mut. So the Gemara says, my skin and gut, not only men of a chazav of kid. The Bryce over here is talking about where he already gave it to the Levi, and then the Levi gave it back to the Yisrael. Oh, once the Levi had it, Fashetzach, he now let it back out. But the Gemara says, Yochanan, the Sefer, then look at the Sefer that. At Nassel the Ben Levi, if somebody gave it to the Ben Levi, gave it to Ben Levi Yachar, only off Taremis. He can't have Taremis. Meaning, what if at the end of the day you did decide to give it to somebody else? The Levi can't come with Taremis. If it's talking about they had already given it to the Levi, and the Levi gave it back to him to watch as a Shemit Begadim, am I only off Taremis? You can't go ahead and now give it to another Levi. Of course he could have Taremis. Given the Mashkim and Minus Legabe, it's already his. Elamai must be talking about where you didn't take it from him, and still you see, there's this concept of not being able to back out. I, Rabbi Yochanan, said that. So what's the chiluk? The chiluk obviously is one is talking about where it's a matana gedola, one's talking about a matana muetas. This maiserishin is a small matana. Why is it a small matana? Maybe it was a lot of maiserishin. Maybe he's giving him $100,000 worth of maiserishin. How do you know it's a small matana? Maiserishin is 10%. How do you know that's what it is? It's because all he really has in is this Teva Zana. Because he has to give it to somebody, Mamanov Shach. So the Matana is what you're really getting from me. What I'm really giving you. It's the Teva Zana. That's the only thing that's really trading hands from a halachic standpoint. Because the Meiser is Maman Hashevet anyways. So that Teva Zana is considered a Dovamu. It's for that reason I can't be Chayzer. And that's the aside of this halacha, that the Levi has a right to be Mafis Trumas Meiser. Because at that point, the guy is not going to be able to back out. Rabbi Yochanan said that if you give a matana, or you tell someone, I'm going to give you a matana, muter lachzavoy, it's talking about matana gedayla, dear, you're like, again, what's the chiluk between matana gedayla, matana muetes? It's because of this svara of somcha datayo. It's this idea of smichas das, similar to the svara with the sun, with the poyalim, to the extent that the person thinks he's getting it, that's when you run into issues. If it's not clear, then you don't run into issues. Another story. There was a person that put down a deposit to buy sesame seeds. If you learned the first Amid in Perikei L'Metzias, Shumshimi is something that's considered very precious. It was an expensive commodity. They went up in value. So he backed out. The Moicher decided, you're not getting my Shumshimi for the agreed upon price. You never did Mashicha. You are in Koina. I know Moise is not Koinas. He backed out of the deal. You're not getting the Shumshimi. If you want, Shkol Zuzich, come pick up your money. The buyer didn't want to just take his money. He says, nope, I'm not taking my money. You give me Mishum Shemi. In the meantime, Ignav, the money was stolen. Asal Kami de Rava. This Din Torah was now brought in front of Rava. Amalei, Rava Paskin as follows. Kivin Amri Loch Shkol Zuzek, Filoi Shoklis. The seller told you to come pick up your money. You didn't pick it up. Loi mi bayo Shem Mesachet Loyava. Not only is he not a Shem Mesachet, Elafil Shem Mechinam Nami Loyava. He's not even going to be a Shem Mechinam. He doesn't have to swear. He's not chayving Reva Vaveda. He doesn't owe you anything. Amrulei Rabbanu l'Rava. The Rabbanu told Rava, I don't understand how you paskin the shayla. V'habayi l'kabuli aleam yishapara. How did this person that had the shumshimi have a right? You're just letting him, you're absolving him completely? He could just go home, keep his shumshimi, and he doesn't have any obligations towards the Baal HaMois as a shomer? Once money traded hands, there's a mishapara. Avolamu mishapara me'anche dera mabul me'anche dera floga. That's our Mishnah. He shouldn't have had a right to back out. So the Gemara says, Amar l'hachinami. No, you're right. Amarab, I agree. But he has to be mekabel the mishapara. Meaning, he has an option. If he says, I'm mekabel the mishapara, he has a right to back out. If he has a right to back out, he's not a shomer on the money. He's not responsible for the money. He keeps his shumshimi. This person gets his money back, but he has to walk around with this mishapara hovering over him. If he doesn't want to be mekabel the mishapara, then he has to deliver the shumshimi, in which case the money that was stolen, he himself is going to be the one that's going to lose out. So Rava acknowledged that there's a mishapara element. He just meant to say that if he's willing to be mekabel the mishapara, he has no obligations towards him as far as the money is concerned. He's not even viewed as a shoy merchinam. Amar Rapapi. Rapapi said, Amar li Rabino. Rabino told me, Lididi Amar li Yehumi Rabbanan. I heard this story a little differently. I heard it from a certain rabbi, V'Rav Tovish Shmei. His name was Rav Tovish. Amar li others say, Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra Shmei. Di Havi Yoav li Kol Chalola Da'amo. Lo Yehav Kamashani V'Diburei. This was a super honest person. This was a person that would have never reneged on something. This is a person who certainly wouldn't have been mekabel on himself a mishapara. And he told me as follows, B'didi hava uvda, this story that's going around, that people are talking about, Rava Paskin, that as long as I'm mekabel mishapara, it's fine, I have no obligations as even a shei mechinam with regards to the money. Let me tell you the rest of the story. Let me tell you what really, this is not what happened. Stories somehow change. I'll tell you what really happened. Ahu yoyma pandi demali shabtarva. Have a seat. Story begins on an Erev Shabbos, cold winter Erev Shabbos. I was sitting in my house. Somebody was knocking on my door. I come to the door. Can I help you? He said, yeah. Islach shumshimi lezvuni. I don't have any shumshimi. So he says, okay, you know, it's soon Shabbos, and I'm carrying money. I'm not allowed to carry money. It's Shabbos. Do you mind if I leave this money that I was hoping I would give you for Shumshimi, if I leave it by you for Shabbos? It's getting dark. So he told him, my house is open to you. So he put it in his house, the base of Ignav, and then it was stolen. And this was the Shiloh that was brought to Rava. Rava said that this Chacham, this rabbi, had no obligations towards this Yid as a shomer, now that the money was stolen, because kol ha beis kamach, that nusach, that my house is open to you, loy mi bayu shomer sachah lehava. Not only doesn't it make you a shomer sachah, elafilu shomer chinam nami lehava. He never accepted upon himself chiyuv eshmira. That was the story. The story had nothing to do with mishapara. Amrulei, they told him, but I heard there was one part of the story that makes no sense based on the way you're telling me the events really took place. Didn't the Rabbanan say you have to mekabel mishapara? Amali says, it's very nice that that's the story going around. But no, Rabbi never told me that. This was not a shayla of a mishapara. Mishapara would mean that there was a mechira, and then the mechira decided to back out. It's not what happened. There was a yid who wanted to buy something. I actually didn't have the thing that he was trying to buy. The reason he gave me the money was because he was buying something. It was because it was almost Shabbos. He needed someplace to keep the money. The shayla was that I have a din of a shomer. And Rava said, no, not because if a person sells something and then he takes money and he tells the guy, come pick up your deposit, he doesn't have a din of a shomer. That wasn't Rava's psak. I don't know what the loch is over there. That wasn't that shayla. It was a shayla where a person said, this is my house. And he assumed that he meant that the person, the bala boss, was willing to be a shomer. Rava Paskin, no one said that he was willing to be a shomer. As a result, that halacha would not apply. So this concludes the sugya of mishapara. It's just kedai to run through these halachas very quickly in Shulchan Aruch, just to see the sikum of the halachas that we just learned. So the halachas of mishapara are mentioned in Choshen Mishpat, Simin Reish Dalet. The name of the siman is Emosai Mekabel Achizer by Mishapara Umasai nikra mechusar amana. Sivka analef. Mishan asan dami. If somebody pays money for something, like Moshe chametaltlin. Again, we're talking about metaltlin. Afal pishaloy niknu laya metaltlin. Kimoishin is bar. Even though we know that Mois is not koinois, commotion is bar. That's simen kuf tzadik ches. Kolach oizaboy, if somebody backs out, bein loy keach, bein moicher, loy osa maisi yisrael. Vechayev lekabo mishapara, vafilu loy nosan ela mikza sadam. So the mechaber brings the halacha mishapara. The Moicher and the Lekech both do not have a right to back out, and even if they only gave Mikzas Dovim, that's enough that there should be a Misha Parah. I'm skipping. Sivkot and Dalet. Ketzem Mekabel Misha Parah. This Nusach, you have to accept upon yourself Misha Parah. What does it mean? You Mekabel it? How you Mekabel it? Oyerin Oysei Bebezdin. They bring him to Bezdin, and Bezdin would curse him. V'oimrim, and they would say, Misha Parah Me'anche Dera Mabel. U'me'anche Dera Floga. Umeyanche Stoim Va Moira, Umi Mitzrayim Shatavu Bayom, Hu Yi Para Mi Misha Einoi Oimid B'Diburai. So they were subtle, they were kind, they said the klala in the third person. The Rama says, Yesh Oimrim Sha'oimrim Lai Hu Yifra Mimcha. They pointed at him, Einoi Oimid B'Diburcha. Either way, that's the idea of being Mekabu Mishapara. Sivkot and Vav. Machalei B'Dvarim Bovad. Let's say there was a Mechira, all there was Dvarim. Upasku Hadamim. They agreed upon a dollar amount. However, the Rosh HaMalekech, Rosh HaMalamekech, the Lekech went, and he made a Rishima, a mark, on the object that he was going to buy. There should be a simon that it says, even though he didn't give any money, once there's a Rishima, that too is enough for a Mishapara. If you live in a place where making a mark, a Rishim, constitutes Kenyan, this is what we know as Kenyan Situmta. We spoke about this last week. Nikna HaMekach, Vein Echa Mehem Yochel Achzav. At that point, the Kenyan is in fact going to be Chal. So, in order for there to be a Mishapara, you need Mois, says the Mechaber. It could be even without Mois, there would be a Mishapara. A mark, Situmta, that would constitute enough that there should be a Mishapara. It shouldn't be Dvarim B'Yamim. In fact, if people do Kenyanin, that's the Mazal, back, thus that would be enough for the Kenyan to be Chal Legamre. You wouldn't even be able to be Chayzer if you were willing to accept a Mishapara. Halacha Zayin. Hanoisev Noisem Bedvarim Bovad. What if two people discussed doing a transaction and all it was Dvarim? There was no Meshichas Metaltlin. There wasn't even Meshichas Mois. He didn't even make a mark. There wasn't even a Roshim. It was Dvarim Bovad. Hareze Ro'i Lamed Bediburei. The appropriate thing to do is to say what you said you were going to do. And even though you didn't take money. There wasn't even a mark. There wasn't even a mashkin of some sorts. Even though this is not mishapara. It's not a good thing to do. Let's say somebody tells us, I'm going to give you a matana. And he didn't. That's only a small matana. This was Rabbi Yochanan's halacha. Because the recipient in his mind, he already spent the money. But if it was a bigger matana, he didn't really believe deep down that he was going to get it until he saw it. Some say that if you pledge something berabim, even if it's a matana meruba, you have the halacha of ena yachal achzabai. The bottom line is, this is just a synopsis of halachas that I think most people are not familiar with, at least I'll speak for myself. These are very important halachas, and you see how this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, here in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Reish Dalet, this is Dvarim Chamurim, Mishapara, and even if there is no Mishapara, which would only really be true in certain instances, but there's an idea of Mechusrei Amana, so not such Pashat halachas. I'll just tell you two other Chakava places where this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, both in Yerideya. One is in Hilchas Mila. The Rama in Hilchas Mila discusses somebody goes over to somebody else and he promises him that he could either be the Moyel by his son's bris or it could be Sandik by his son's bris. Right, right. It could be the Moyel or Sandik. So the Rama says, you're not allowed to be Chayzer. The Nosle Lachar also Lachzerboy. You can't be Chayzer. Says the Gra and the Taz. What's it based on? It's based on a Hagos Mardchai in Perek Rav Eliezer the Milo that bases it on our sugya right here. Because being that we're dealing with a kibbut, it's viewed as a matana. it's a matana mu'etes. It's not viewed as a matana meruba, meaning the person assumes he's going to get it. It's like ma'aserishin. You're giving it to somebody. Either you're doing it yourself or you're being mechabit somebody else to do it. So to the extent that you're being mechabit somebody else to do it, really we're dealing with a toivas hana. Toivas hana, you saw the Gemara assumed as a matana mu'etes. Matana mu'etes, you have the halacha of a reza mechusri amar. One interesting caveat to this halacha is the Taz says that if later somebody else comes and you hear there's a tzaddik, a gadol hadar, you know, just came in from Bnei Brak and he's spending the week in Lakewood and you want to be mechaben with tzaddik, you're allowed to do that. Because it's an umdin of the muchach that you at least left that option open. Another interesting thing that the Marcha himself discusses, that Metzah Shem will talk about, when we learn Perek Ezeu Neshach, we spoke about it a little bit a few weeks ago, and that is it could be the only time you even have an obligation is if you promise the person tzaddikos when the baby was already born. But it could be if the baby wasn't born, at that point not. And the reason is, because if the baby's not born, we're dealing with a loy bal oilam. The way this sugya works, Misha Parah, it's all with a kinyan. The Lashon HaGemara was that Mois is not koinus, but it's koinu le'inya Misha Parah. So to the extent that you're dealing with something that's loy bal oilam, it doesn't pass kinyan. A kinyan gomer you can't have on a loy bal oilam. You can't have a kinyan sikumta on a loy bal oilam. So it could be Misha Parah, and these inyanim, and mechusri amana, could be you can't have that on a loy bal oilam. Either there's a Chuvas Chassam Sofer about this, a fascinating discussion. Another area where this is brought down, and this is when it comes to pledging to Staka. And this is already a black and white, open shut halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Hilchas Staka, Simin Reish, Nun, Ches, Sif, Katan, Yud, Beis. Amar Litan Lechaver Matana. If you go over to your friend, you tell him, I'm going to give you a Matana. So what's the halacha? In Simin Reish, Dalet, Chosh, Mishpat, small Matana, you can't back out. A large Matana, you could back out. Says the Mechaber, Imhu Ani. If the recipient of the matana is a poor person, then you're ready and you're not allowed to be chayzer. So for an ani, you're not allowed to be chayzer. Poshit, it's a siv katan in simin reish dal in a chayshem mishpat. But really, it's not mentioned there. It's mentioned in hilchus staka, simin reish nun ches. If you look at the Torah is the makar to this mechaber, the Torah adds one line. The Torah says, you know why? Because amira legvaya is kemesira lehadyet. And Beis Yosef jumps on the Lashon HaTor right away and he says it's a shigra de lishna. He didn't really mean to say that. Amir l'gvay kemesira lehadyet is hektish. If you say that this is hektish, even without doing anything, it's chal hektish. Meaning it's not just because of mechusrei amana. It actually becomes staka, because staka is like hektish. But the Beis Yosef has a big problem with that. But the truth is, we've spoken about this a lot in the Daf. We spoke about this in the Masechtas Nedar when we learned the sugi of Yeshayahu. That staka, if we go back to Masechtas Shkolim, we had an arichas on this, but that was a little time ago. But the point is tzedaka, is it treated like hektish, or is it not treated like hektish with regards to the halacha of amira legvaya kimasir lehedin? Meaning, it'd be a huge nafkamina. Nafkamina would be, for example, if somebody pledges money for tzedaka and then he dies, do the Yarshim have an obligation to fulfill their father's pledge? If it was kemesira lehedyet, if something happened, there was a kinyan that went into effect, then l'chura, you would argue at that point, you wouldn't have a right to back out. The Ramah, in the end of Simen Reish Nun Ches, brings two deifs. If somebody in his mind pledges staka, so there's an appeal, or somebody comes to your house, and you're thinking, how much do I want to give? And you have different machshavas floating through your head. And then, you know, sometimes the number gets higher and higher, sometimes it gets lower and lower. So to the extent that the number got low, you have a right. If someone had a machshava to give tztaka, can you back at it? Ramah brings 2 days. It's based on a Rosh, a Masechtas Tainis. There's 2 yeshayim. Says the girl, you know what the shayla is? Gevaldik. The shayla is that hektish is chal b'machshava. If you have in mind to make something hektish, it's chal. In fact, one of the big kashas in the sugi of yodis by hektish is, what's in the gay the sugi of yodis? To the extent that I said something that suggests that I want to be makdish something, it means I thought to be makdish. Let the hektish be chal b'machshava, right? It's Kerner's kasha, it's a famous kasha in the sugi of yodis. But hektish, baruch per, is chal b'machshava. So says the Gra. If you say that there's a din amira l'gvaya kemesira lehedyet by tztaka like by hektish, that means tztaka is hektish. If tztaka is hektish, it's chal b'machshava. If tztaka is not hektish, then mehechitesi, it should be chal b'machshava. Either way, some dvar matikin. Let's just see if we can finish till the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said that Mois is not koinus, and as a result, if the Moicher wants to back out, or Kech wants to back out, they have a right to back out. Stating that, Reb Shimon argued. We saw Reb Shimon Shita, so one in detail in yesterday's daf. Reb Shimon says that only the Moicher is allowed to back out when he gets the money, if there was no Mashicha. The Lekech doesn't have a right to back out. Tanya, Om Reb Shimon, Emesai, Bizman Shakesef HaPeres Biad Moicher. When is this halacha true? If the Kesef and the Peres are in the hands of the Moicher. But let's say the Moicher has the money and the Lekeach has the Peros. which, by the way, sounds like the deal's done, right? At that point, you can't back out. Because he has the money. Freik the Gemara, biyadoi, sounds like in the hand of a lekeach, biyad moicheru, you just said that the moicher has the money. Elam mipneshe dmei kaspei biyadoi. The thing that the lekeach is buying with money, he already has. But the Gemara says, pshita. Obviously, I don't need a braisa to tell me that. If the lekeach has the payers and the moicher has the money, it means it's over. There's nothing else to do. So I need a braisa. Reb Shimon said, Amosai, when could you back out? That's if the deal wasn't done. But if the deal was done, of course, they already drank l'chaim. It's done. What else are you supposed to do? Amar Rava, Rava said, muskeres b'yad meicher. We mean a whole different halacha. You know what we mean? We mean over here not that the lekeach actually took the money, but the payers that the meicher has, he has in the lekeach's reshus. Because the meicher, payers, is a renter of a property that belongs to the lekeach. In that case, even if the lekeach didn't do meshicha on the peiros, the halacha is that the mois will be koinois. Why? Because time might the kinu rabbanu meshicha. Why did the rabbanu say mois is not koinois? You need to do meshicha. Because what happens if a fire breaks out? Who's going to save the chitin? There's going to be no one to save the chitin. Hach over here, being that if a fire broke out, it's really breaking out in the lekeach's house, because he's the owner of the house. The meicher's renting his house. Enough let leka b'inus. Iu tarcha maisilah. He's going to go save it himself. So you're not going to have that loss. Being that you're not going to have that loss, there's no reason to have this halacha of mois koinois. Ahu gavra diyav zuzi achamah. There was a person that once paid money for chamra. The seif shama the kol boy the minzabe the bay parzak refilah. That the government's coming, they're taking away all the chamra. Amalei says, I want to back out. Havli zuzi. The lekeach wanted to back out. Leibina, I don't want chamra anymore. Also, comment Rav Chizda. Amalei Rav Chizda said, kiderech shetiknu meshicha b'meichrin, kach tiknu meshicha b'lekuchais. That just like the meichah's allowed to back out, the lekeach's allowed to back out. Maybe it doesn't mean shapara, but if he wants to back out, he could back out. We'll just conclude with one ha'ara from the Michas Chinuch. So he just had an interesting gemara, that to the extent that somebody pays money for metaltalin, the metaltalin is an aliyah. The aliyah belongs to the lekeach. How so? Because the meicher was renting space from the lekeach. At that point, mois will be koinus. The meicher won't be able to back out. The Rambam brings this halacha, perakim al halacha vav, in Hilchis Mechira. And when the Rambam brings it, he adds one word. The Rambam's lashon is leficha kamhoisa beis shalikeach sheish beachifetz hanimker muskel lemeicher. If the house belonged to the lekeach, the meicher is just renting his house. Leitiknu lechacham meshicha. Meshicha doesn't work. Zok to mechas chinuch. The Rambam added something that the Gemara didn't say. All the Gemara said was that in this case, where the metaltalin is in the reshus of the meicher that really belongs to the lekeach, mois is koinus. Meaning you can't back out once you pay money. The Braisa did not say that if you wouldn't pay money and you would do Meshicha, the Meshicha wouldn't be Koina. It could be the Meshicha would also be Koina. Mois is Koina and the Meshicha is Koina. The Rambam waked too, that if Mois is Koina, then Meshicha is not Koina. As if to say, either Mois or Meshicha. So the Chachamu were misakin Meshicha by Metalfon, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who we paskin like. But they were only misakin and Aviva, you don't have Mois Koinus. Now that you told me Mois Koinus, at that point, now Meshich is not going to be Chav. So yesterday we spoke at a whole seminar in Shulchan Aruch. When the Mechaber goes through cases where Mois is Koinus. So as if to say, in those cases, there's no Meshicha. Meshicha is only going to be Koina to the extent Mois is not Koina. But if Mois is Koina, then at that point, Meshicha is really not going to be Koina. And the Mechaz Chinuch is Matmiya. He doesn't understand why that has to be. It's in Simon Shin Lamed Vav. He has some really nice adjectives. One nice Mar Mokim, he brings Teich Dvar, is a Pnei Yeshua's Kasha. Evet Knani is Niknis, be Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka. Shmuel, in Mesachtes Kedushin, Daf Chabez Amad Beis says that if somebody does Meshicha on an Evet Knani, he can be Koina the Evet Knani with Meshicha as well. Freik the Pnei Yeshua. Why should Evet Knani be Niknis be Meshicha? Why are you kind of metalful in the Meshicha? Because Gzeir Hashem B'yoyim Elohim Nisif Ruchitecha Ba'aliyah. The Ed Chashash doesn't apply by an Eved Kanani. Chitim, if there's a fire, it's not going to go anywhere. The Eved Kanani, if there's a fire, it's going to run away. So if you don't have the Chashash of Gzeir Hashem B'yoyim Elohim Nisif Ruchitecha Ba'aliyah, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Freik the Pnei Yeshua, why is Meshicha Koina? So the Mechaz Chinuch brings that the Nesiva Samishpat, the Nesiva says, I don't understand the Pnei Yeshua's Kasha. It's true that the reason the Chachamu were Mesakin Meshicha by Metaltlin is Gzeir Hashem B'yoyim Elohim. And it's also true that the Gemara says sometimes times the whole Siman Shulchan Aruch that when you don't have the Gzeir Shem Yoyim Lulay, Mayis is Kainas. But it doesn't mean Mashiach is not Kainah. Mashiach is always Kainah. There's always going to be Mashiach. Mashiach is always Kainah. Sometimes Mayis is not Kainah. Sometimes Mayis is Kainah. But as it relates to the Mashiach part of the equation, Mashiach is always going to be Kainah. But Al Kapanim, what's the Makar to this Pnei Yeshua? Pnei Yeshua is Kasha. The wise Mashiach Kainah. If there's no Gzeir Shem Yoyim Lulay, it's this Raman, which in the Chinuch is Medayik in the Chinuch as well. Either way, tomorrow begins the sugya of Aina, one of the more famous dafim in Shas. It's the sugya of Tagre Lud. We conclude this part of the sugya, which is the sugya of Mois Koines and Mishapara.